goodness. Wow. I could see myself preaching this message. When I was practicing, I was getting all excited. I could see myself. I was just like almost jumping up and down like Michael Harper, you know. But this is really an exciting message for me today. Before I get into that, I just want to share that one of the things is something that rather significant that happened for me. As you might not know, but I had cataract in my right eye. I have cataracts actually in both eyes, but I had cataract surgery on Friday, this past Friday. And the lens replacements now are just amazing. And so they corrected my astigmatism, and they corrected my being able to see near and far. And so, Lord willing, I'll be able to read this thing without my reading glasses, and I won't ask somebody to rush off the stage or something to get my reading glasses for me and wait there in tense anticipation. Will he be able to do his sermon or not? I have to say that it has caused me a great deal of anxiety to be able to know that I'm really dependent upon my glasses, my reading glasses. And even though I can see far, and with a contact lens, if it rotates sideways or something, I can't see. A number of times I was reading music, and I couldn't see the music. 18-point font on this thing, and I couldn't even read it. And so I'm just kind of there anxiously playing and hoping I can get through. Yesterday I woke up, because after the cataract surgery, and I can see far, and I can see near, just in the one eye. And because the other eye is still bad, but at least a contact lens corrects for it. My cataract was so bad that my doctor was not able to correct it with contact lenses or glasses. So instead of seeing even double vision, I wasn't seeing double vision like two things here. I would see a circle of things. That's how my eye was. And so, yeah, it's not good. Especially when I'm driving at night. Not good. I should have warned you if I'm driving at night. Be in back of me. Don't be in front of me. Anyway, so that's how it was. And I've been struggling with that for quite a while. You don't want to tell people that. You know, you really can't see too good. But it was quite amazing when I woke up yesterday morning. And it was still blurry. And they said over the next few days it will be blurry, but that will go away over a number of days. But it was so, it was more than just being able to see. It was an experience. An experience of being able to see things that you just never were able to perceive before. And I thought repeatedly about blind people in the Bible who were not able to see, and then they were able to see, and why they would rejoice so much. And I wasn't even that way. I could see through my left eye, and I could see through my right eye, even if it was very bad. But it's very much like the message today. The message today has to do with the idea of being in Christ. And the central verse of this is 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. It's a scripture verse that one of the earliest scripture verse I memorized. And when I memorized it, I had that sense of newness to that verse, and I thought, this is what happened to me. And I thought, how wonderful it is that this happened to me spiritually. And I thought, how wonderful the experience was. It was like being able to know that I was going to be able to see clearly one day. But I didn't see everything clearly. And indeed, this side of heaven, we will never see everything clearly. It's like we have a spiritual cataract over our eyes, maybe over both eyes, so that we can kind of see things, but we do not see things clearly. And so it's distorted or obscured. We know it's there, but we don't have the full appreciation of it in that day when we cross that river, as Matt Redman wrote on that day, when my strength is failing, and when that day comes. One day we will cross that river, and one day the spiritual cataracts will be removed from our eyes, and we will see clearly. And what will we see? What we will see is the focus of the scripture verse today. we will see Jesus Christ. Everything that God has given us is in Christ. Everything that we can possibly see is in Christ. Why? Because God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship him in spirit and in truth. But we cannot see spirit. Even our glorified states cannot see spirit, but we can see Jesus. And he is the representation of the Father, the exact representation of his being, Hebrews chapter 1 says. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And on this side of heaven, what we have after Jesus departed, we don't see Jesus physically. Now we have the Holy Spirit to live in us. And the Holy Spirit speaks words of Jesus to us. And he reveals Jesus to us. He reveals the one who reveals the Father to us. So we have the Holy Spirit who is dwelling among us today. And in through the Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ is dwelling with us, and likewise the Heavenly Father. That's why we can enjoy this, the fellowship of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit all at once. Isn't that a beautiful thing? That's such a beautiful, I hope you're tracking with me. Oh, If I lost you, it's okay to raise your hand. If you have your Bible, if you open your Bible to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, the central verse will be verse 17, 2 Corinthians 5, 17, which was already read a couple of times today. What I would like to do is take a running start at this verse to help us understand this verse, and then to understand a little bit more of the richness of this, of two words in this passage of Scripture, which is the words, in Christ. Okay? So with that, let's go to him in prayer. Lord, we are so dependent upon you. Apart from you and illuminating our minds and our spirits, Lord, we are like nearsighted or blind people. Indeed, Father, the words I speak cannot open people's eyes. But you can, Holy Spirit. Your word can open people's eyes. So I pray along with the Apostle Paul as he prayed, and asking that you would open the eyes of our understanding here today, that we might be able to understand the fullness of the riches in Christ Jesus. Indeed, all the spiritual blessings that are found in Christ. We won't be able to understand it all here today, Lord, I admit that. But I pray that you give us a bit of a start, a bit of a wedge in the door, if you will, through which we can appreciate more and more the unfolding of the glorious riches you have for us in Christ Jesus. So, Lord, we come to you now asking that you would help us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. 2 Corinthians 5:17 speaks of this thing called a new creation in Christ. So we understand that there's something, a brand newness to this, and perhaps it has something to do with an experience that we have when we come to Christ. For some people, it's just an eye-opening experience where they see that everything now is different. For other people, it kind of all looks the same. And their journey is much more gradual, and they grow gradually. We all have a different kind of journey. The Bible says also that one day there will be what the Bible calls a new age, or the new state, if you will. Now, when we say new age, we're not talking about the kind of new age that they're talking about using crystals and looking at the moon and stars and finding out what age are we in. Are we then age of Aquarius or age of Pisces? We're not talking about that, okay? We're talking about the way the Bible refers to the new age. All of what we're talking about here and doing here on this earth as we meet in a fellowship of believers points to that day when Jesus Christ will make all things new. And this is often what we've loosely referred to as eternal life or heaven or being in the very presence of our Lord. There are many ways the Bible describes this. And so, which is it? I'm going to submit to you that it's all of these things. And the scripture here refers to all of these things, that if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. Now, before we get to this verse, we have to look at what is Paul referring to here. To understand what this verse is talking about, it helps to find out what the previous verses were talking about. And without getting into the whole thing here, Paul is talking about putting away the old life, the old way of life of the world, the things that we knew ever since we were born, from the time we were born, the world that's lived on this plane here, apart from the vertical plane. He's talking about putting away, learning to put away, and dying to things that belong to this world. I'm looking at verse 14. He says, "For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, that is, Jesus Christ died for all, and therefore all died." So we find that as Jesus Christ dies, we find an identity in Jesus in our dying as well. We die. As Jesus dies, we also die. And it says, "And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again." So this changes our purpose. It changes our direction from the things of the world to things that are above. Now, things of the world, I want to make sure that we understand this properly. I'm not talking about we're no longer going to work hard at school because this whole world's going to pass away. I'm not talking about no longer working at work and for gainful employment because all this world's going to pass away. I'm not saying we don't take care of our health because our health's going to pass away. I'm not saying we don't take care of our relationships because our relationships are going to pass away one day. We're not talking about those things. We're talking about things of the world that belong to the world, such as sin. God created this world beautiful, and he, at the end of each day of creation, he said, "It is good. It is good. It is good." He created it good. He created man and woman, and he said, "It is very good." He created it very good. But sin entered the world, and that's what we're talking about. Those elements of the world that don't belong to the kingdom of God. That's what we're talking about. Things like greed. God put us in charge of the whole world, and that turned into greed. Through Satan's work, it turned into greed. He gave us dominion over the world, and that turned to hunger for power. He gave us sexual relationships, and man turned that into sexual immorality and lust. He gave us relationships, and man turned that into domination rather than living in harmony with one another. And those are the things that we're talking about. We're talking about what man, through the influence of the devil himself, has corrupted in our world, in our lives. And that's what we are to be putting away. We die to those things so that we can live for him who raised us. And so he says, from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. So I look at Daniel over here, and if I know him pretty well, I don't know him real well, not as well as like Susan. So I don't know that he's really grumpy and all of this, and just because Susan said so. But even if he was, I don't regard him from that point of view. I regard him from the point of view that God is working in his life. I won't point out anybody else because I don't want to get into trouble here. I know I won't get into trouble with Daniel, but I might hear it later. But we regard no one from the point of view. That is, we strive to see others in terms of what God is doing in that individual. What is God doing in that individual? And we strive to see what God is, take that perspective, that view. And then he goes on to say, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, the new is come." And he goes on finally to say, "We are ambassadors of this message. We are ambassadors of Christ. We are those who are sent out," an ambassador is somebody who is sent out to represent another kingdom. We are sent out to represent the kingdom of God, to represent Christ. That is all that's surrounding this verse. And I want to suggest to you that the two words, in Christ, have a meaning that is far surpassing of what we initially understood. Many of you memorized 2 Corinthians 5:17, right? Out of your basic discipleship classes. Many of you understood some of what that meant. But I'm convinced there's so much to this verse that we cannot fathom what it means to understand this verse. It's like me and my cataracts. I'm able to see things. I know it's there, but I just can't see it clearly. And I know that one day, Jesus will remove those cataracts from our eyes. But in the meantime, I would like to offer you a number of things. And if you take out your notes page, we're finally going to get to your notes page in your bulletin there, that these are the things that we find. We find that the more we learn about what Paul refers to as in Christ, the bigger and bigger Jesus Christ seems to get. So we see how Jesus said some very astounding statements. He said, if you remain in me, if I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Oh, what kind of statement is that? Nothing? What, Lord, I can do something. It may not mean very much, but I can do nothing. And I take a look at the last book in the Bible, the book of Revelation. The word is apocalypse. But apocalypse, don't think of the word of bombs and explosions and terrible, all of these things. Think of it as the word revelation, because the word apocalypse means revelation. And the last book of the Bible, Revelation, is called the Revelation of John for about Jesus Christ. So it's about revealing Jesus. In the very end, it's all about seeing and understanding Jesus more. In the meantime, we're growing toward that and progressing toward that. So I would like to offer a few thoughts here. And that if we are in Christ, first of all, you have incredible personal blessings. Write that in your notes page. You have incredible personal blessings. I mentioned the inner change that Jesus Christ does. Scholars and theologians try to understand what Paul means by being in Christ. What does that even mean? And theologians have tried to understand it in this way, that is, if you're in the air, it's like being in the air. If you're in the air and you're breathing the air ends up in you, right? So if you have a particular kind of vapor in the air, it's a particular kind of gas, and you're inhaling that, what happens to that gas? It comes in you. So you're in the gas, and the gas is also in you. I know that didn't sound too good. Maybe I should use another word. But you're in the air, and the air is in you. But it's like that. It's a mysterious type of thing that we want to be in Christ. As we're in Christ, Christ is in us. And the Scripture tells us we have righteousness, peace, joy in the Holy Spirit. We have encouragement, we have contentment and strength, we have no condemnation. Those who are in Christ have no condemnation. Can you imagine being on that day with standing before the Lord with confidence as the parade of sins that you've committed is listed down and then it's wiped out, it's erased. Now you're standing before the Lord with contentment because there's no condemnation in this new environment of Christ. Secondly, you are united in the church. In the church fellowship, you're united in the church fellowship. Write that in your bulletin there. Galatians chapter 1:22 and 3:28 speak about that. He talks about the churches that are in Christ. I don't know if there are churches that are not in Christ, but the word church simply means assembly or those, the ecclesia, those who have been called away. It's an assembly that are in Christ. Those, we call it the body of Christ or the bride of the Lamb, those who Jesus loves. And there's a fellowship that we share with one another that's so unique that we come to church. When we come to church, we know that it's going to be a little bit different from the rest of the week. When we have lunch with our friends and who are in Christ, it's a little different from those friends that are not in Christ or a lunch appointment. When we went to the General Assembly, that was different from just work, a work lunch or work gathering. I've been to lots and lots of seminars where our company would go to these things. Going to the General Assembly is so different. It's really an assembly of the saints, and you feel it. There's just a difference there. There's a unity and a oneness. So there is an incredible personal blessing. We're united in the church family. Thirdly, God has provided supernatural blessings. Supernatural blessings. Now, these are blessings that God and God alone can provide. You cannot provide this for yourself. Things like sanctification. God takes you and sets you aside and says, I'm reserving you for my kingdom. Through faith in Jesus Christ, I am reserving you for your kingdom. He redeems you. He buys you back for his kingdom. We cannot do that. God redeems us. He bought us back. He chooses us. The Bible says he chooses us and foreordains us. Each one of you, oftentimes it's easy to think, I'm just one in a crowd of people. But you know that God hand-selected you? He saw you and he chose you personally. One at a time. He didn't just grab a mass of people and say, I'm going to choose this whole bunch. He chooses you. As you hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, as your heart is changed and you realize the message is true, he chooses you for his kingdom. We have got access to God because he chooses us, and we have forgiveness of sins. We cannot do that ourselves. We cannot climb our own ladder to access God. God does this in Christ. And lastly, fourthly, you have a godly perspective for everything you experience. You have a godly perspective for everything you experience when you have Christ. Now, it's natural for us, it's easy for us to have a worldly perspective. When something bad happens, I read the article, can't remember when it was, in the last day or two, about this horrific crash in Eva. And I thought, you know, it talked about these families that were affected, and I thought, oh my goodness, how do I even begin to comprehend the tragedy here? And our automatic response is to respond in a natural way. We feel the losses, we feel the hurts, we think about the fire and the horror of that, and we think about those who are affected and experience the loss. And those are the natural kinds of perspectives. There are also everyday kinds of things that God changes our perspectives on. He allows us to be proud in Christ. He allows us to be proud in Christ, Romans 15:17. We speak the truth in Christ, Romans 9:1 and Ephesians 4:15. When we just tell the truth, guess what? We're speaking the truth in Christ. Even negative things. Paul talks about his imprisonment as being in Christ. He also talks about death in Christ. From the beginning to the end, it's all in Christ. That Jesus Christ is the culmination of all that our faith is leading to. A man named Pastor Levi Lusco, he's a show on TV, was sharing about the loss of his daughter, the death of his daughter, and how painful it was for them to say goodbye to his daughter. And then throughout the course of his sermon, he spoke about the anchor for his souls. They had determined that the anchor for their souls was hidden in the holy place. And in Hebrews chapter 6, verses 18 through 20, he referred to that holy place in which the anchor for their souls gave them security. And he pointed out that in that verse, Jesus Christ is behind that curtain. He is the anchor, the one that's anchoring our souls. No matter what we're going through, we can have a godly perspective of it on everything we experience. In short, in Christ, God came into your world so that you can go into his world. That's what he wants. All the things that we're talking about here, salvation, redemption, and sanctification, and forgiveness of sins, God did in Christ to bring us into his world. And that's the world one day we look forward to. We have a glimpse of that today. Praise the Lord. He gives us that glimpse. We can experience his blessings as we experience his environment. As the band comes up, I'd like to ask us to pause and consider a couple of thoughts. We experience all the blessings that Jesus Christ had. Every spiritual blessing in Christ is ours. In Christ, God came into your world, wherever that is, so that we can enter his world. So I have a question today, just a thought to reflect on. What is it that you can do to count your blessings in Christ? What can you do today to count your blessings in Christ? Another thought is, if you were to have God's perspective on the things you've gone through, how would that change how you viewed what you've gone through? We see from afar, how does the Apostle Paul see imprisonment as something good? How does he do that? How does he see impending death as something good or something that God is going to use powerfully? That's available to each one of us here today. And as we go forward and prepare for a time of communion, this is one example of what God has done for us in Christ. Daniel?
Thank you, Pastor Stan. Let's all stand as we sing our final song. And I think it's appropriate to give God glory for